Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, I have a small business. I am an entrepreneur. Life is tough as an entrepreneur. Don't let anybody ever tell you it ain't. But it's got plenty of rewards that go along with it, too. So you take the good with the bad. A friend of mine, Naveen Jain, says that life as an entrepreneur is like a heartbeat. It's up and it's down, and it's up and it's down. And when it's flatlined, so are you. So that's it. You're dead. If your business and your life is just a flat line and doesn't have its ups and downs, well, then, you know, either your business is dead or you're close to death anyway. That's just life. It's just business. It's just being an entrepreneur. So today we're going to talk a little bit about the workplace and employees, and we'll talk a little bit about how to eliminate chaos, stress, and discontentment in the workplace. Our second guest today will be a holistic psychotherapist, and we will analyze many things. Our first guest, who is joining us right now, is a British gentleman named Andy Swan, author of the new book, The Human Workplace. I like this.
Hey, Alan, how you doing?
How you doing, Andy? I like your quote. Your quote is here that I got from you early on here is, when people thrive, the company thrives too. Maybe you could start out by giving us the genesis of your book, The Human Workplace.
Yeah, completely. I think the whole book's based on that idea that when people thrive, companies thrive too. And it's really common sense. I spent a lot of time exploring the idea of work and how people interact with each other and the companies they work for and what makes them stay in jobs they hate and how companies work and what makes people perform well or get something good from their work. And that all kind of crunched together over time into the idea behind this book, and I explored a lot of different companies of different sizes and shapes. And one thing was clear, that when people thrive, the company thrives too, because if people are able to do their best work, they're going to contribute more. And when people are contributing in the right way, then the company succeeds, whether that's in profit, whether that's in growth, whatever it might be. And it's such a simple idea.
What if their job just sucks? What if it's just a rough, bad job? How do you make that person happy? Let me start right there.
I mean, yeah, I think there's been this kind of misconception that everybody should be happy or have fun in their work. And there are some jobs that just aren't fun. You know, it's not fun being a cancer nurse, but actually you can get some kind of reward from that work. It's not necessarily fun being a refuse collector, but actually, you know what, you're keeping the community clean. And if you're set up in the right way, if you have the support from your colleagues, if you can connect with the job in some way and see that there's a reason for doing it, then you're still able to contribute and get something from it. But it's how that platform to enable you to be your best in that job is set up that counts. And you know what? There are some jobs and some people that aren't meant for those jobs. So if you really can't find any connection with your job, then you're probably in the wrong place.
I got to tell you a funny story. Once upon a time, I was a car dealer many moons ago, and I was selling a car to a guy. And I said to him, I said, okay, so what do you do for a living? And he says, well, I pump human crap. And I was like, I just started laughing. I was like, what? He says, yeah. He says, I run a honey truck. And I'm like, wow. And he started laughing. He says, actually, it's a really great business. And I thought to myself, you know, isn't that funny? It was like, this is a job I wouldn't do if my life depended on it until I see how much money the guy makes. And I might go, well, I guess I could probably do that, right? But maybe not for me. But it was funny because in life, so many things need a paradigm shift, right? He probably, when he went to go get this job, he must have been down on his luck or whatever. And then when he realized, hey, you know, this is really an important job. Everybody does it. Everyone got to get rid of it. In the part of the country where we live, they got to call somebody to pump it, right? And I thought,
yeah,
you know, it's a huge business, right? Just you mentioned refuse, the same thing. The trash business is huge. Recycling. I owned a wrecking yard. The recycling business is fantastic. So many things. I mean, if you just think about trash in general, there's plastic. I happen to have an aluminum smelter at my wrecking yard, and we used to make tremendous money out of throwing old wheels and anything we could that was aluminum into this machine that would melt it down and turn it into a big 20-pound ingot. So there is always a reason and a paradigm shift that when somebody looks at a job that they may go, I don't ever want to do that job. But if you maybe show them kind of the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, maybe they look at that and go, that could be actually a pretty decent job. All right, let me take a break. We'll take a break, come back. This could be very fun to talk about, but we'll go away from that subject and get back to your book, The Human Workplace by Andy Swan. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly, I'm Alan Taylor, and we are here to help you understand, well, things like The Human Workplace, a new book authored by Andy Swan, who's on the line with us. His website is Andy Swan with two N's, Andy S-W-A-N-N dot C-O dot U-K, andyswan.co.uk. Andy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So forgive me for starting out talking about stuff like I did, but listen, there's all kinds of jobs out there, and I think a lot of it depends on people being happy in their workplace, depends on their outlook on life. Now, in the second part of the show, we're going to talk with a psychotherapist, and because, you know, some people, they just live under such stress all the time, and I think so much of it is in their own head. I'm a perfect example, and the people listening to my show that work for me have told me that when I walk in the room, it's like, the stress goes up just with me walking in. I'm like, why? I'm such a nice guy. But I am their boss, right? I pay their paycheck. I can give them raises. I can fire them. I can make their life nice. I can make their life miserable. Evidently, I make their life miserable. I know they're laughing right now. But point is that, you know, so much of it is in the head. So your book is about what?
So my book is called The Human Workplace, and it's about the idea that, companies should give their people a platform to be able to do their best work, because when they can do their best work, then the company wins as well.
Yeah, no, agreed. Do you have a set of skills that people need to have to teach their employees, or how do you go about helping those to have a better work environment?
Yeah, I mean, the book's full of different ideas. The whole point is that you should do what's right for your company, not just what other companies have done. So while we have lots of examples and case studies in there, actually the real tools in there are to allow each company or each boss to actually, or each person, just to sit down and explore what their work is, what they're trying to do, how they could do it better, how they create that platform for people to thrive. And, you know, much like, you know, like you say, yeah, when you walk in the room, people's stress levels go up. But that's a, you know, that's a perception they have, because actually if you're creating the platform for them to be able to do their great work, and it sounds to me like you're a pretty fun boss and a pretty good guy to be around, then yeah, they've got that platform to thrive, and they're able to have that kind of bit of banter with you and laugh about how when you walk in the room the stress level goes up. But they're clearly all working hard.
Well, no, they are, and I have a great crew, and I love every one of them for their craziness, and I hope they love me for my craziness, because we have to learn how to work with others' idiosyncrasies, you might say. And, you know, some people
that's
are
a really important point.
Yeah, because, I mean, some people are clean freaks. Some people are organizing freaks. Some people are sloppy. How do you help people to work together when you have so many different types of personalities like that?
I mean, I think so we come from 20, 30 years ago, you weren't encouraged to be yourself at work. And now we're starting to realize that it's everyone's individuality that makes them great, because all of those different interactions of different people with different ideas and different approaches, they all create different perspectives. And when you put that into a big melting pot, yeah, that's where creativity and ideas come from, different ways of doing things. If you allow people to be themselves, then you've got a bigger chance of doing something really different to your competition. And surely that's why we're all out there anyway.
Mm-hmm. Again, we're talking with Andy Swan, author of The Human Workplace. How do you use design thinking to create optimal organizational structures? I read that in your book here just briefly. I mean,
that makes it sound so complicated.
It is. It's like, what?
So design thinking, let's put this in the quickest possible way. Design thinking is really common sense. It's trial and error. It's have a go at something, and if it's not working out, have a look at it and change it a bit, tweak it, and then keep developing it. And if it's really not working, pull the plug. But the idea is that actually it's okay in business to say something's failed or to to change it slightly or to update it. You know, it's like we see in software. You turn on your phone and your apps get updated all the time, or the next generation of your phone comes out. And that's that same thing. It's iterating. It's looking at what your users or your customers want and then just updating things to meet that. And the same goes for the workplace. Look at what your people need and then tweak it, update it as you go, get feedback from them and continue to develop. We're on a continual development cycle. We're all constantly evolving, whether we're people, whether we're companies, whatever it is. We shouldn't just assume it's an A to B line from the start to the finish.
When people thrive, the company thrives too. I see you have here, make a business a community. Give me 30 seconds on that.
Whether you've got customers or employees, the best way you can get the most from them or you can get loyalty is by creating a connection. And whether the best places to find where people connect or where people congregate are communities, whether it's around a sports team, a hobby, a location, whatever it might be. That's where people have a reason to congregate. That's where the power comes. So I'm saying, you know, find a reason for people to connect with your business, whether they're customers or whether they're employees, and then bring them together and create that community feeling, because then you'll get that loyalty and they'll keep coming back.
Loyalty. Love it. The Human Workplace is the book. We're talking to the author, Andy Swan. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back. I was only having
fun. Wasn't hurting. Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And don't forget that your workplace is a human workplace. Well, that's the name of the book, The Human Workplace. Author Andy Swan is on the line. His website, andyswan.co.uk. Swan has two N's on it. When people thrive, the company thrives too. I'll say that again and again and again because I believe it. And I have about 10 employees. And you really, truly have to care about those people. You can't just say, oh, I care about my employees. You really, truly have to care. If you don't, you're a pig. Because if you don't care about your employees, then you might as well just get machines. You might as well forget about the human factor. And then guess what? If you have machines, you're going to be awfully lonely because humans will give you something called satisfaction. Because when you thrive and your people thrive, you feel satisfied that you're doing something good in this world. So I happen to like the name of your book, The Human Workplace, because it really is. I mean, we've got a lot of computers here that do a lot of wonderful things. But without our computers having people behind them that are putting something a computer does not have, the heart and the soul, into the job, then what would you have? You'd have all kinds of very sterile components and things that you're trying to build your business with that lack heart. So you got to put the heart back in the workplace.
That's a really good point.
Good. Thank you. Let's talk about the next topic here. Use communication to inform and empower people. Give me that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's very straightforward. For many years, a lot of us have been going to work and there's been secrecy. You know, you try and reach up the chain, but you have to go through your boss, who then speaks to his boss, who then speaks to his boss. And you get in a big game of Chinese whispers and some things never get done or you never hear back. And the messages you get back from the company are what's broadcasted down from the top. But if you unlock communication and information and allow anybody to share or speak to anybody else up and down that chain, then actually great things can happen. You know, the person with the greatest insight into how to serve a customer is the person serving that customer. But quite often they're the least powerful to actually make a change or to do something different. And so it's very hard for them to get the message to the top. But actually, if they were able to go straight to the CEO and say, you know what? What if we tried this? And then be empowered to actually give it a go and feedback and get user feedback as well, then the system suddenly becomes far more open and it becomes what we were talking about before, this kind of iterative thing where you can continually improve based on feedback from people. Mm-hmm. So communication and the flow of information are really important.
We may call that sharing tribal knowledge.
Sure.
Yeah.
Nice.
Right.
Are you going to trademark that?
I actually just launched a web page and well, I haven't even made it public yet. And then I have a Facebook page called Tribal Knowledge. So just, nice. Yes, I am. All right. Let's talk about using technology to allow employees to work more efficiently. So now we come back to technology.
Yeah, I've got to go back to that point you were making before. You know, we can get robots or machines to do certain jobs, and quite often at the moment, they're the jobs that people don't like doing. You know, whether it's putting things in boxes or whether it's doing the basic admin. And actually, you know, if we use technology in the right way, we can empower people to do what people are good at. And what people are good at is being people, it's being individuals, it's caring, it's sharing, it's being creative, it's thinking. And all of those things are really important to businesses as well. So actually, if we use machines and technology to enable people to actually do the work that they're good at and they want to do, then the whole system works a lot better anyway.
Yeah. What's the key thing that they're good at and they want to do? I have a video production company, and I can hire people to do the job. Now, the job is either shooting videos, taking photographs, and editing videos together. Could be all three. I want you to do all three, or it could be just editing. But it's funny, you put somebody in front of a computer that their heart is not in it, that they don't really love what they're doing, and the product is crap. And it's like, what happened? I thought you said you could edit. I can edit videos, but I really don't like, you know, cars, or I don't like this or that, or hotels, or making videos about whatever the hell the customer needs. You know, it's like, wait a minute, I've hired the wrong person then, haven't I?
You know what? Maybe you haven't hired the wrong person. Maybe you have the right person for a certain project. But maybe for that particular project, you need somebody with the same skill set, but just, you know, with an interest in that area. So increasingly, we're seeing, you know, the way people work, or the projects they work on, or what they do in companies is far more than just a specific job description. There's a lot more flexibility. And you know, we're seeing the rise of freelance working a lot as well, where people go and work on projects that really excite them because they know that they'll do better work there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're in this kind of shifting time around work and the relationship between people and organizations.
Well, you said it, though. It's back to the word communication, learning how to communicate. Maybe, and the problem is that, listen, I'm 57 years old. I'm a baby boomer. I grew up in a time when the boss was the king, when the father was the king of the household, you know, and it's like, you know, that's the way I was. And I just realized that as life continues to go on, guess what? You better learn how to communicate, men and women that grew up as baby boomers when things were different. Because today, this is a different world. And I'm happy. I'm glad that we have guys like you, Andy, to write books called The Human Workplace. You guys can find it online at andyswan.co.uk. Andy, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Alan. It's been great.
All right. We're going to come back next and talk with Marianne Clyde, licensed therapist of the Marianne Clyde Center of Holistic Psychotherapy. Chaos, you say? Stress? Oh, yes. In the workplace? Maybe we can see what Marianne can do for us. It's Entrepreneur Weekly.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
All right, you know I was going to have a psychotherapist on the line talk about chaos. Stress in the workplace, discontentment. It's perfect because our workplaces are human workplaces. So Andy did a great job with that name. Marianne Clyde is joining us now, a licensed therapist and author. She's got a number of books. She also has Marianne Clyde Center for Holistic Psychotherapy. Her book is called Zentivity. And you can find that at Zentivity.guru. I like that. So, Marianne, first of all, the name Zentivity. Let's start right there.
It just is a combination of the feeling of being calm and centered and having a strong internal locus of control, making you more productive in the workplace. So that's why I just took two words and blended them together and made my own little word.
I like it. I like it.
I
have a word.
Thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I have a word. I have always liked the word mojo. You know, when somebody has good mojo, right?
I have a dog named Mojo.
I had a dog named Mojo. See, look at this. 6 degrees
there
of separation.
We're soulmates.
And I would, if I saw something that I liked that wasn't a person, but the thing had good mojo, I would say it was mojorific. You know, I mean, so putting words
perfect.
Together, right? It's fun.
Perfect.
So I like the name of the book, Zentivity. Now, how do we eliminate chaos, stress, and discontentment when we do have a human workplace? So you're dealing with so many, and you're a psychotherapist, you're dealing with so many personalities. Where do we start?
That's right, Ed. The easiest place to start is with ourselves. You know, because you can't control anybody else. I mean, I don't have to tell you that. You can't control anybody else. You can't control how somebody's going to feel. You can't control the economy. You can't control an earthquake or a tornado or anything that's going to happen. You can't even control the girl in the next cubicle who might be snapping her gum till it drives you crazy. So the only thing you can control is you. And so the book's all about 10 essential principles on how to do just that.
Okay, well then let's walk through about five of them. By the way, another word I made up with the word mojo is comodulate, where we put our mojos together, and that's what we're doing right now.
Comodulate. Whoa.
Right.
You're pretty deep.
All right, so let's talk about some of these things we can do because, you know, if you look at what's going on in the news, you know, wow, right? I mean, everybody is getting accused of something these days. And so I think with men and women working together in the workplace, we really have to be thoughtful, careful, and loving in the way that we are in our workplace instead of, you know, kind of smut mouth, macho. I'll give you an example. I saw a commercial. It says, it's good to be bad. Now, what is going on? Jaguar says it's good to be bad, yet everybody's getting in trouble for saying and touching and, you know, whatever they're doing these days, you know?
Well, you know, and everybody has become so reactive, too.
Right.
I mean, you can't have a conversation without somebody blaming you for something or attacking you because you disagree with them. So yeah, we've got the people being accused of all this sexual misconduct. We've got almost every week we have a shooting or a bombing or something like that going on. And then we've got all these, it is a crazy world for sure. And so how do we eliminate that? You don't eliminate the external stuff because that's going to continue to happen. We have to find a better way to manage it. The very first principle is something that's become more commonplace in the workplace these days, is establishing some sort of meditation or quieting practice every day. And everybody has to find a way to do that within a framework that works for them, whether it's, you know, 20 to 30 minutes of meditation or whether it's prayer or whether it's breathing exercises. And, you know, when we even tell people, really, if you just take a deep breath, hold it for a second, and then blow it out through your mouth about three times, that's enough to calm you down and get you focused.
Mm.
And if I can just get the whole world to just take a deep breath and detach, those are two more principles of Zentivity, before they say anything, the world would be a better place right there. Or before they take action, just take a breath and detach from the drama du jour, and it'll save us a whole lot of grief. Find a space where we can make a response instead of a reaction.
Wow. Wowzer, lady. Wowzer. Because in the good book, it says, be still and know that I am God. Be still, right? And what you're saying is pause just for a moment before you ride the wave of emotion. We'll take a little break. We're talking with Marion Clyde. You can find her book, Zentivity, at zentivity.guru. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Weekly.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Marion Clyde is with us, licensed psychotherapist.
Woo-hoo!
I love that.
Woo-hoo!
Book, Zentivity. You can find it at zentivity.guru. And I threw it out there. I said a God thing. Oh, my God. But you know what it does? It says in the good book, it says to be still. And I don't think that people pay attention to that. And of course, then, you know, the stress and the unhappiness and the emotions and the swing to the left and the swing to the right. And they, you know, bipolar and, you know, chaos, right?
Right. Absolutely. I mean, we think it's a badge of honor when somebody says, how are you doing? You say, oh, busy. I'm really busy. I'm just so busy. And if you're not busy, you think you're not worth anything. And the whole idea of this is to slow down enough, take a deep breath, and really connect to your worth, which is incalculable. Mm-hmm. And it's just... it's perfect because we live in this microwave society where we get mad at somebody if they don't text us right back. We get, I mean, I've seen relationships break up over that.
Oh,
and it's just crazy. And I'm still learning how to text. So, you know, heck, I'm glad I don't have a relationship based on texting.
Oh, my God. I got into an argument with my wife the other day because I put 3 exclamation points on something and I really needed it done really bad. So I'm the exclamation point king.
Oh, and the capital letters too.
Oh my God, she flipped out. She just absolutely blew a gasket, and I was like, all right, I got to learn this lesson.
Take a breath, right?
Stop with the exclamation points. All right. So where are we lacking? I mean, I know leadership is, you know, it's top down, right? I mean, the head, what do they say? The fish stinks from the top, from the head. I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say. But is it the leader's problem, fault, responsibility?
Well, here's a thought. My website, Zentivity.guru, is based on the fact that we are all leaders. I mean, somebody's watching you, somebody's imitating you, somebody's doing what you're doing. Even if you're not in a leadership position in the office, it's important to know that you are a leader in some capacity, so we all need to operate off of this. Yes, I encourage employers to read the book, to practice the principles, and set an example for their employees. But the fact, the way I see it, is that we're all leaders. We should all be doing this. The way we react to other people, the way we judge other people, the way we slam other people and shut them down if they disagree with us, we're lacking respect for ourselves and others. Because we're all connected. So if I disrespect you, if I judge you, if I don't forgive you, I'm actually doing the same thing to myself. And so it creates a cycle of chaos that can only be changed from within. And it has to start with me. You know, let there be peace on earth, mm-hmm. and let it begin with me. I should run for, like, Miss America or something. That's my, I just want peace on earth.
All right.
It's a noble goal, don't you think?
Yeah. You know what? And here's the thing. You're right. And sadly, we are blamers. This world, you know, yeah, nobody wants to be responsible. And I'll take responsibility. I'm a blamer.
For all those exclamation points.
Yeah. And I think that we all are. And anybody that can't say, oh, yeah, you know, who likes to actually take responsibility when they make a mistake? No one. But
right.
Guess what? When you do, that stops that. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And the problem is that if somebody isn't wise enough, not smart, that's the wrong word, wise enough to look at something calmly, like you said, pause for
right.
a moment, and look at it and say, you know, what am I responsible for in this scenario? And then if
what?
Just to say, you know, I'll tell you what, I'll own this. And my guess is that this caused that because your reaction, you know, to my action caused this. So I'm sorry. If we could do that more often, man, that just stops the whole cause and effect thing, right?
Absolutely. Because when you blame somebody, they're automatically conditioned to defend and then blame you back. And so somebody has to stop that cycle. By not blaming or just accepting responsibility, like, yeah, I'm sorry. Maybe you didn't intend that, but I'm sorry. Let's start again. It's a hugely important concept to learn to communicate effectively and listen. And you know, and we don't listen to anybody. We have bullet points on one side, bullet points on the other side, and we take sides, because if you start to creep over to the other side and have and think that maybe that bullet point on that other side of the aisle is a little truth in there, then somebody will shut you down and say, whose side are you on? You know, you don't know what you're talking about. And we need to just slow it down, take a breath. As a matter of fact, that's just breathe is principle 4 in the book, and I believe in it so much it's tattooed on my wrist. It's my million-dollar advice to the world is just breathe.
Wow.
Because it solves a lot of problems. And it's, you know, when you're angry or hateful or negative, your IQ goes down because your oxygen is in fight or flight mode. So it's in your arms and your legs instead of your brain. So that's why another reason to step back, take a breath, and let the oxygen and the blood circulate in your body.
I love it.
So it can be effective for you.
I love it. Good stuff. We're talking with Marianne Clyde, licensed psychotherapist. I've always thought, I'm not a psycho. I don't need a psychotherapist. But I guess I am.
I don't know.
I am psycho. What do you mean? We'll come back and maybe get some of the... some more help on how we can begin to develop these skills we're talking about. The book, Zentivity, How to Eliminate Chaos, Stress, and Discontent in Your Workplace and in Your Life. Zentivity.guru. This is Entrepreneur Weekend.
In return for grace, it's a beautiful.
Want to find out more about Entrepreneur Weekly? Visit us at entrepreneur.com. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
How does one eliminate chaos, stress, and discontent in the workplace? Marion Clyde says, breathe. Take a moment, pause. And I think that's good advice. Her book, Zentivity, is out, and you can pick it up at zentivity.guru. Marianne, let me ask you about how we can start to develop these skills we've been talking about.
Okay, great question, because we have to start somewhere. And so I've got these 10 great principles. They're all relatively easy to do, but people can feel overwhelmed. And the last thing I want is for people to feel overwhelmed, because that just makes it more chaotic. So the first thing they can do is just begin a practice of breathing, of meditation. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be transcendental meditation. It doesn't have to be anything with a name. It can just be involved breathing deep, holding it and letting it out a few times in the morning or throughout the day. Getting your body moving in ways like, you know, they said these days that if you sit at your desk for 5 hours a day, it's equivalent to smoking a pack of cigarettes. So we have to get up and we have to be moving. So if I'm stressed, I should get up and poke my head outside, take a little walk around the block if I can, walk up and down the hallway. Whatever we can do to get moving is an important way to get our bodies circulating and operating in a way that's healthy for us.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing is what you said before the break was genius, as far as asking yourself the question, so what can I do? What am I responsible for? I don't have to blame anybody. I don't have to judge anybody. I don't have to slam anybody. I could just ask myself the simple question, what can I do about that? And take a step. I mean, if we break this into little chunks, it's much more effective. We stop judging people. We respect people. We let things go. Forgiveness is a huge, that's the 10th principle, and absolutely vital in the workplace because we hold grudges. And when you hold grudges, you're stressed out. And when you're stressed out, that adrenaline and cortisol surges through your body with no place to go. You need to let stuff go. It's good for your health.
Mm. I like it, and it all makes perfect sense. And it is common sense that is not so common anymore.
Well, that's right. I mean, actually, that's why I have the membership site to go with the book, because if you're like me, you have a whole stack of self-help books, spiritual books, business books all over your house, but you read them and then you forget. The website, Zentivity.guru, kind of holds the hand of these leaders as they establish these principles in their lives and apply them on a regular basis in the workplace when somebody just really ticks you off. And what do I do with that? Or, you know, there's so many things happening these days.
You know,
somebody getting shot, somebody shooting all their coworkers, somebody else poisoned the office coffee pot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all kinds of crazy things happening.
They gave me laxative and brownies. That was not fun.
Oh, geez,
no,
really?
No. But I like it. You have, again, this common sense, which is something that, because we live in such a fast-paced world, that it's not that we don't have this common sense. It's that we, like you said, we forget. And I think that's why, you know, God gave us relationships, because we need our friends, our spouse, our significant other to remind us. The problem is we get mad at the other one. Who are you? What do you mean? You do the same thing. Instead of just saying, hey, thanks. You know,
that's
I forgot that, you know?
Yeah, so, teaching me to grow.
That's
right. The more somebody ticks you off, the more they're helping you grow. Look at it that way.
Yep. So how did you get into being a psychotherapist? What was your driving motivation, I guess?
Oh, well, the truth is I got divorced and remarried and was concerned about the mental health of my kids and the way I was dealing with anxiety and so forth. And I got into therapy and thought, I should help other people do this. So once I got myself set free and stable again, then I could help other people. And that was, yikes, that's closing in on 30 years ago.
Wow.
And, we got 8 kids and 13 grandchildren with 2 more on the way.
Wow.
And so,
congratulations.
Yeah, so we've got a lot of potential stress. So this kind of stuff really works.
Well, there you go. Marion Clyde says, breathe, meditate. Take a pause when things get tough. Also, get up and get moving. You know, sitting is the new smoking. Take responsibility. Of course, that was my genius comment.
And,
but you added to it, take the first step to making that happen. And then, of course, forgive. Let go. You can find a lot of this stuff in Zentivity, the book. And you can find that at Zentivity.guru. And Marion Clyde, thank you for your great advice.
Alan, thank you for having me. It was great.
A lot of fun. Well, that's it for Entrepreneur Weekly this week. We'll see you next week. Same time, same channel. What's the use in
trying? This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.